Turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 2. If you brought a Bible, Joshua chapter 2, find that place. Just keep it in your lap, and you'll enjoy the good song. As soon as Brother Tony's done, we'll read the Scripture and jump into the Bible message this morning from Joshua, the second chapter, Joshua chapter 2.
Battle you can't win. Do you struggle day to day with thoughts of giving in? There's no reason for despair. He has walked this way before. Just won't come, and your soul cannot be still. When it's all been said and done, rest in the Father's will. There's a multitude of sin covered by the blood that pours. That's what grace is for. That's what grace is for.
If you have your Bible to Joshua 2, I want you to look at verse number 21. Now, I was going to read more Scripture, but for sake of time, I'm just going to read verse 21. But I will give you the setting for this passage. Just ask you your undivided attention for the next about, usually 35 minutes, 35 to 40, okay? That's about what we have for a message on Sunday morning. So if you listen carefully, I'd appreciate it. Maybe something that might help you this morning. Look at verse number 21. And she said, this is Rahab speaking, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. Notice this phrase here. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. I want to speak to you on the subject, the scarlet line. The scarlet line. My dear Father, I thank you for mercy and grace. Tony just sang about your mercy and your grace, your compassion, your blood that paid the way for our sin debt. Thank you so much for grace. I need it during these moments to help me, Lord, as I speak to these people. I just want to be the conduit through which your Spirit moves. I want to be the tool out of the Master's pouch this morning. Just pick me up and use me, I pray. May your Spirit have complete sway in this service. We'll thank you for it. Draw our hearts to Jesus. We'll thank you for that in Christ's name and amen. Of all the inhabitants of Jericho, Rahab would have been chosen the least likely to survive the judgment of the city. And that's what happened to Jericho. God judged that city by the collapsing of the walls. The walls were impenetrable by normal means. You could not get to the city by any normal methodology, but the Hebrew people had a very unusual God leading the way and going before them. And after obeying God's orders, the walls fell down flat. They invaded the city and the citizens of Jericho were destroyed. All of them, the Bible says, except for Rahab and the people in her house. Now, this is how it happened. Let me give you the summary of the story very quickly. Joshua sent two spies into the city of Jericho to scope out the city. Now, you say, well, that must have been a lack of faith because God told Joshua that the city, God was going to give the city to them. So Joshua should have had more faith. Now, I don't think it's a lack of faith. You know, just because God told Joshua he was going to give them the city of Jericho, it did not negate man's responsibility to know everything he could know about that city. And so he sent those spies in to learn about it. Where are their strong points? Where are their weak points? How can we get to the city, okay, once the walls come down? Now, the two spies went immediately to Rahab, the harlot's house. You say, well, what did they go there for? Or we'd quickly jump to some kind of judgment on why they would go to Rahab, the harlot's house. I don't believe they knew Rahab was a harlot. Rahab's house was also a place of lodging. The Bible says that they lodged there. So when they got into the city of Jericho, they looked for a place of lodging, much like a motel, and they found this place of lodging run by Rahab, who had the reputation in the city of Jericho as being a harlot. Now, the two men got there and they got a room. The king of Jericho sent his men. He heard about it, and the king of Jericho sent his men to capture the two spies. So the two spies show up at Rahab's house of lodging and knock on the door. And we want the two men that came from the nation of Israel to spy out the land. And Rahab hid those men, and she basically sent the king's soldiers on a wild goose chase looking for the spies, distracted them and got them away from where the spies were. Now, after the king's men were gone, Rahab helped the spies escape from the city of Jericho by letting them down the walls with a scarlet line, a scarlet rope, a scarlet thread, if you will. And they told her, the spies, before they slipped away, the spies made her a promise. They said, because you have helped us, we want to spare your family, anybody who's in your house, you and all your family, anybody in your house, will be spared death when the invasion takes place. So she lets the spies down by the scarlet line, and then the spies told her, they said, now Rahab, the only way we're going to be able to identify your house from all the other houses in the city of Jericho is by the use of this scarlet line. You bind this scarlet line in the window of your house. And when we make the invasion into the city, we'll see the scarlet line and we'll know, we'll identify your house by that scarlet cord. Now, the Bible says that those spies left, and we read the verse where Rahab immediately hung the scarlet line in her window. In fact, the Bible says she bound it in the window. She bound it in that place so that it would not move. It could not possibly be moved. And true to their word, when the walls came down flat and when the men made the invasion of the city of Jericho, the only inhabitants that were spared were Rahab and the people in her house, identified by the scarlet line. Now that's a true story. That's not Aesop's fables. Okay? That's not Grimm's fairy tales. That's a true story. That's the inspired word of God. And it happened like that all the way those years ago for the nation of Israel. Now, listen very carefully. This story, along with many others in the Bible, is a clear picture of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the only type of salvation you'll ever be able to enjoy. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Pictured in this story by the scarlet line. The scarlet line is the picture in this story of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say a few words this morning about the scarlet line. Number one, the scarlet color represents the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a scarlet line that has existed down through human history. The scarlet line pictures the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Those folks, the pivotal point in human history is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's the pivotal point in human history. All the folks in the Old Testament looked ahead to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. All of us living in this New Testament age, we look back to Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary is the pivotal point in through all of human history. The scarlet line flowed from the Old Testament down through the New Testament through today. The scarlet line pictures or represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The line here was not a blue cord. It was not a yellow cord. It was not green. It was scarlet. Red. If I were to prick my finger this morning, if you were to prick your finger this morning, the blood that would seep out of the little prick in the skin would be red in color. Salvation is through the blood. Salvation is not through the baptistry that's full of water this morning. Salvation is not through the yellow legal pad of church membership. Salvation is not through anything that man can do, could do, or would do. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is pictured all the way down through the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament. In Genesis, it was the blood of Abel's lamb. God told Cain and Abel, bring a sacrifice to pay for the sin, your sin. Abel went out and he chose the firstling of his flocks, the little lamb. He sacrificed the lamb, gathered its blood, and brought it as his offering. Cain went out to his garden, and he picked the cucumbers and the onions and the garlic and the corn, and he brought the work of his hands to God to pay for his sin. And God rejected Cain's offering. He turned his back on it. He wouldn't even look at it. And the Bible says he was angry with Cain for that offering. But he accepted Abel's offering. He accepted a blood offering. In the book of Exodus, it's the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb was shed there, and its blood was put on the doorpost and on the lintel over the door. And when the angel of the Lord passed through that night at midnight, the blood that was on the door protected those that were inside the house. Any house that was not covered by the blood of the Passover lamb suffered the judgment of God. The blood's always pictured Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb. In Leviticus, it was the blood of the goat. The pattern was established and followed all the way through. Blood was shed, blood was shed, blood was shed. Here it's pictured by the scarlet line, the color scarlet, representing the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this morning that the blood of Jesus Christ is different from all other blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is different from my blood. I got my blood from my dad. He got his blood from his dad. Who got his blood from his dad? Who got his blood from his dad? There's something wrong with my blood, something wrong with my dad's blood, something wrong with my granddad's blood, something wrong with my great-granddad's blood. You know what it is? It's tainted by sin. Tainted by sin. started all the way back in the Garden of Eden where Adam disobeyed God, ate the forbidden fruit, and Adam took on a sin nature. And that sin nature was passed down from generation to generation to generation through the blood by birth. But Jesus' blood was entirely different. He got his blood from his Father. His Father is God. God's blood is sinless. God's blood is pure. God's blood is holy. The blood, the scarlet line in this story, the color scarlet, the scarlet color represents the blood of Jesus Christ. I have more to say about that, but for sake of time, I'm going to go to my second thought this morning. Number two, and this might surprise some of you, the scarlet color represents the sin of man. The scarlet color represents the sin of man. Isaiah the prophet identified the color of sin as scarlet. He said in chapter 1, verse number 18, though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson. So that scarlet color not only represents the blood of Jesus Christ, but that scarlet color represents the sin of man. Rahab the harlot. What color is associated with harlots? We identify them as being down at the what? The red light district. The story, I forget the author right now, from way back in the Salem witch trials, the Scarlet Letter. Scarlet is a picture of the sin of man. And I want to say this morning, friend, I believe crimson red is a good color to represent sin. You want to know why? Because sin is a shameful thing. Sin is an embarrassing thing. When you stop and consider that a holy, righteous, pure, sinless God sees and hears and knows all of our sins, it causes us to be shamed. Or at least it should, shouldn't it? Part of the problem with our nation today, we've lost our ability to blush. It happened back in the days in the nation of Israel when Jeremiah was the prophet. He told the people, he said, you don't even blush over your sin anymore. You're not ashamed over it. It doesn't make you blush. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Ezra, back in chapter 9 and verse number 6, he said this. He said, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, O God. And friend, when you consider the wickedness of our hearts, isn't that true? Isn't it kind of shameful? Doesn't it cause us to blush, to lift our hearts up to God, knowing that He knows everything about us? What if we were to lower this giant screen this morning? And instead of a PowerPoint presentation about the ministry of Faith Baptist Church, what if we were to play the thoughts and the intents of our hearts, person after person after person, starting with me and going throughout the whole congregation, and we just were to portray the thoughts and intents of our heart for everybody in this room to see, how many of us would be blessed? You ever catch your kids in a lie? Part of the ways, one of the things that tipped you off to the fact that they weren't telling the truth. Maybe they didn't make eye contact with you. Their eyes were here and here and here. But one of the things that tipped you off that they were not telling you the truth was after they said their response to your question, their cheeks flushed. Sin's an embarrassing thing. Sin is a shameful thing. Our nation, it's portrayed as beautiful and exciting and titillating and all of that, friend. But I'm going to tell you something. In reality, sin is a blushful, shameful, embarrassing matter. I think scarlet's a good picture of sin because it pictures the embarrassment, the shame of sin. But not only is the color scarlet a picture of the embarrassment of sin, but I want to tell you, the color scarlet is a picture of the indignation of God. When a person gets angry, how is that emotion expressed many times? The flushing of the face. The cheeks turning red. I mean, do you ever read or hear of a story on the news of the mistreatment of a baby or the abuse of a child or some heinous crime that was just absolutely senseless and useless, some murder of some family, something that was just absolutely useless. Some drunk gets in a car and in a drunken stupor kills an innocent family on the way to a family picnic. And do you not become indignant at that? Does it not create anger in your heart? And anger sometimes flushes our faces with the color red. And I want to tell you something, friend. We've been singing this morning about the wonderful love of God. And indeed, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I want to tell you something. Just as much as God is a God of love, God is a God of indignation. And the matter that He is indignant about is our sin. I want to tell you something. If you think for one moment that the sin that angers you and me doesn't anger Him, you're barking up the wrong tree. God hates sin. Hates it. Can't look upon it. It angers Him. He becomes indignant about sin. My sin. He's indignant about your sin this morning. So the color scarlet is a good representation of the sin of man. Not only because it causes us to blush and be embarrassed, but because it angers God. The embarrassment of sin on the part of man. The indignation towards sin on the part of God. I'm telling you, the color scarlet represents the blood of Jesus Christ. But the color scarlet also represents the sin of man. Let's say number three this morning, that the blood of Jesus was shed for the sin of man. The blood of Jesus was shed for the sin of man. Jesus died on an old rugged cross, shedding His blood. And I'm going to tell you this morning, friend, His death was not in vain. He didn't die because he was a martyr for the nation of Israel. He didn't die because he was a rabble-rouser leader of a group of guerrillas trying to overthrow the Roman government. That's not why Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood so that your sin and my sin could be paid for in full. Amen. That's why His blood was shed. Sin must be paid for. My sin must be paid for. Your sin must be paid for. Sin demands a price. The price of sin is death, but not death by choking. That's why Jesus was not choked to death. Not death by drowning. Not death by burning. Not death by heart attack. Not death by brain aneurysm. Not death by some disease. No, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood. That's how He died, by the shedding of His blood. And the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. There's no atoning for sin. No, Jesus' life didn't end in a failure as He tried to overthrow the Roman government and was conquered. That's not why He died. His life ended in victory. It is finished, was His cry from the cross. I've done the will of God. I did what I came for. I have pleased my Father in heaven. It is finished. My life is over. Not for long. 3 days, 3 nights, I'll come out of the grave. The sin debt is paid in full. Sins. I marvel sometimes why denominational churches want to take the songs about the blood of Jesus Christ out of the songbook. Why do denominational churches no longer want to sing about the old rugged cross? Why do they no longer want to sing about nothing but the blood of Jesus? Why do they no longer want to sing there is a fountain filled with blood? Do you realize how necessary that is for you and me, friend? His death on the cross was for the payment of our sin. That's why His blood was shed. We know that the life of Christ was not in vain because His death pleased His Father. You say, pleased his father? Pleased his father? A son's death pleasing his father? How could that be? It was in the will of God for Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Son, I love you. Son, I love a lost, sinful world. You have pure, sinless blood. Their blood is tainted by sin. Their sin must be paid for. If I am ever to be reconciled with lost, sinful man, you must go to the cross and die for their sin. God sent Jesus into the world for the express purpose of dying for our sin. So that's why when Jesus died, I say Isaiah by prophecy said in chapter 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Not only did it please God, friend, it satisfied God's demand for justice. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that that God was satisfied with the payment of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. People who try to pay for their sin by being baptized, that doesn't satisfy God. You try to pay for your sin through the rituals of the church, that doesn't satisfy God. You try to atone for your sin by being a good person. Be the best person you can. I'm not against that. But that will not satisfy God when it comes to your sin. There's only one thing that satisfies God, and that's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus was shed for the sin of man. When Jesus died, He pleased and satisfied His Father. The scarlet color represents the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The scarlet color also represents the sin of man. Jesus shed His blood for the sin of man. If you've missed everything else, don't miss the next point. Yeah, I'm almost done. The blood of Jesus must intersect with the sin of your heart. It must intercept. The blood of Jesus must cross paths with the sin of your heart. And do you know what happens when the blood of Jesus crosses paths with the sin of your heart? Sin is canceled. Sin is forgiven. Sin is washed away. Sin is atoned for when the blood of Jesus intersects with the sin of your heart. The red blood of Jesus Christ has to intersect with the red sin of your heart. And friend, if that has never happened, your sins are not forgiven. They are not atoned for. You will have to be separated from God forever and ever and ever in the place that the Bible calls the lake of fire. But if your sin has intercepted with the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, washed away, done, paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. You know, Mississippi River starts up over here in Minnesota, flows down through the midsection, if you will, of our nation. As it winds its way down mile after mile after mile, state after state after state, all the way from Minnesota down into the Gulf of Mexico. Every town it touches, it makes a difference in those towns. River towns are different. I've lived in towns that were not river towns. I lived in towns that were river towns. Everywhere a river touches a city, a group of people, it makes a difference in that community. It makes a difference in the commerce, makes a difference in the industry, makes a difference in the trade, makes a difference in the recreation of the people in that area. That river touches that city, it makes a difference in the lives of those citizens. And I'm going to tell you something. The blood of Jesus Christ flows like a river from the beginning of time until now. In everybody's heart, that it touches, it makes a difference. It takes red blood to cancel red sin. 1975, I was an old, lost hippie on my way to hell. Embarrassed? Huh. My behavior was portrayed on that screen this morning, I'd run out of the building. Probably not show my face here again. Sin. Tainted. The red sin of my heart. But in October of 1975, at a church altar, on a Wednesday night, I bowed my knee to Jesus Christ and put my trust in Him by faith. And the red blood of Jesus intersected with the red sin of my heart. And that precious red blood canceled my old rotten red sin. The Bible says, it washed me white as snow. Isn't that a blessing? Has the red blood of Jesus Christ crossed with the red sin of your heart? You say, well, how does that happen? It doesn't happen by joining a church. It doesn't happen by being baptized. It doesn't happen by taking communion. You know how that happens? It happens when you and I admit that we're sinners and in simple faith turn to Jesus and receive Him as our personal Savior. By faith. Receiving what He did on the cross to pay for our sin. And friend, when you do that, His red blood intersects with your red sin. And there never has been a heart that His blood touched that was not made clean. Never has been. Have you intersected with the blood of Christ? If not, I would encourage you, give that some serious, serious thought this morning. The scarlet line flows down to where you sit today. And if you'll receive that by faith, it'll cancel your sin. Make you clean. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate your attention in spite of a few distractions in the service, and I apologize for those. Thank you for listening carefully. Just a few moments, we'll be dismissed. But before we're dismissed, I must ask some very important questions. We talked about the scarlet line. The scarlet line. Representing the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The scarlet line. Representing the sin of our heart. Jesus shed His blood for our sin. And if His sin intersects, if His blood intersects with our sin, then we are made clean, pure, holy. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one moving at this time. Please, let me ask you, has the blood of Jesus ever intersected with your heart, the sin of your heart? Pastor Angel, I am saved. I have put my faith and trust in the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. I've been saved by His grace. That's your testimony. Just a minute, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I would just ask you to be honest before God. If you can't say that, keep your hand down. But if you can say that, no one's looking, would you please raise your hand? Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. Raise your hand high in the air so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for being honest. Let me take it down. Main floor of the balcony. who's here this morning, Pastor Angel, I could not raise my hand. I do not know that my sin has been canceled by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But if He loved me enough to die for me, if He loved me enough to shed His blood for me, that interests me. My heart needs to intersect with the precious blood of Jesus. I don't know that heaven is my home. I'm not sure that I'm going there when I die. Pray for me this morning. Just ask God to speak to me and pray for me about that. Would you lift your hand, please? While I'm looking, nobody else is. God bless you. Is there another? God bless you. In the back, God bless you. And there's another. God bless you. Is there any more? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'll be honest about that, Pastor Angel. Couldn't raise my hand just a minute ago, and I'll raise it now. God bless you. Somebody else. I'm not sure that my heart has ever crossed paths with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a minute. Anybody else? Pastor, include me in this prayer. When you pray in just a minute, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Include me. Anybody? All right, with no one looking, please. Only the folks who just raised a hand. If you just raised your hand saying, Pastor, pray for me, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'd like to you to look at me just for a minute here. In the back, would you look at me just for a minute? God bless you. And over here. And over here, God bless you. The most important thing you'll ever know in life is that you've been saved, that your sins are forgiven, you're on your way to heaven. I was 18 when what happened to me, I described just a little bit ago, was the greatest day of my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. Somebody had a Bible, took a Bible, and showed me how to be saved. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning, the same opportunity the preacher gave me 32 years ago. Nobody's looking, you know, you guys are looking, but nobody else is. We have men on this side. I'm going to need a couple, three more men over here, please. They should be in place with Bibles and some ladies here. Let me ask you, when nobody's looking, why don't you just come right now? Let them show you from the Bible how to be saved. Would you do that? That's what I did 32 years ago. Would you get up and come? That's right. Would you just come? Nobody's looking. Would you come? Just make your way out. Just let him. It's okay. Just stand. Let him just come right out. We'll show you how to be saved. That'd be great. Sure. It's great. Would you come, man? Would you come this morning? Let us show you how to be saved. That's great. That's great. We're not talking about becoming a Baptist. I'm not trying to get your name on a church membership here. I'm talking about showing you how from the Bible how to be saved. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Would you do that? I'm not sure that I'm saved. You raised your hand. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Why don't you come this morning? Let them show you from the Bible how to be saved. Join these others that have come. Would you come? Anyone else? Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you come? Maybe you know, when we stand in just a minute and the music begins to play, maybe you ought to step out and come this morning, and I would invite you to come. I beg you, if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart this morning, you know, I remember sitting in that service and how uneasy my heart became as the preaching went on. I thought to myself, good night. What that preacher is saying is true, it's right, and I was bothered by it. Boy, am I thankful he gave me the opportunity to know how to be saved. Would you come? Would you come while we have the opportunity? I'm going to pray for you in just a minute, and I hope that you will if you didn't. Maybe there's some here this morning, Pastor, I've been saved, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism since I've been saved. I've not been obedient to Christ. Maybe I got baptized as a baby, but not since I've been saved. Maybe baptized as a child, but not since I've been saved. I've not been baptized. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand this morning? Two or three young people, any others? God bless you. God bless you. If you're here this morning to obey the Lord in believer's baptism, then you come right now while we wait. If you came to be baptized, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you step out and come this way, or you'd like for us to talk to you about it, you come in just a moment. That'll be great. God bless you. You're on your way. That's wonderful. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and baptized, you've been visiting the church, you know this is a place where God wants you to become a member. You've spoken to somebody about it, and we would love to have you come and join the church this morning. That's wonderful. Now, my dear Father, I thank you for the scarlet line of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that our scarlet sins can be canceled, washed away, forgiven by the scarlet blood of Jesus. Thank you that the one cancels the other. Thank you that our sin has never tainted His blood. His blood has always cleansed our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we can be made white as snow this morning. Dear Father, speak to our hearts today. I pray for any who are not saved, who did not come. I pray that they would. I pray for these who need to be baptized, that they'd come. Lord, you might have spoken to somebody else's heart about something entirely different. I pray, God, you'd move in our hearts today. We'll thank you for it. in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to play a song of invitation as they begin to play this morning. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Maybe you didn't want to come when everybody was sitting. You'll come now. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you do that? Would you come? Would you come this morning?